Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that you just continue to show us the directions that you have for us. Open our hearts and our minds for what you have. Father, we pray for our offering this morning as well, that it may be a blessing and that it may be used to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we stand?
Who healed and found God's golden horses.
Oh, hail King Jesus. The next song we're going to be doing is a song called Champion. And it's all about the authority that we carry. Whether we go into a grocery room or a grocery store, whether we go into our workplace, it's all about the authority that we carry. When we say yes to Jesus, he gives us this authority that we carry, that we can share his light wherever we go. And that's what the song is all about, because he is our champion.
Broken things and raise them to glory.
carry your love wherever we go, Father. We say thank you that you have died for our sins right there on the cross. Before we were even born, you were already thinking of us. So, Father, we just say thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. Just thank you, Father. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. This morning, or my three. For those of you who are new here, what we do here at the Mount Carroll Church of God is everybody can have one of these little cards. If you don't have one, they're available for you out there as you walk in. And the idea is that you put three people in your life that need Jesus, that don't know Jesus, and you pray for them every day. That you put them in your Bible, you put them in your car, you put them up on your mirror in the bathroom, wherever you need them, to remind you to pray for the people that don't know Jesus in your life. Because let me tell you, we've already heard stories of people's lives being changed that were put on this list. We know people who've already accepted Jesus that never before would have even thought about Jesus. We know conversations are being suddenly had about Jesus that were never had about Jesus before. We know God works through the power of prayer, and we're a church that believes in that power of prayer. And so we come together every Sunday as well, and we pray for the three people in each of our lives. So as we prepare to go into prayer for these three, I want you to pray for the three people in your life as I pray over all of you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. Father, we want to lift up the people in our lives that don't know you. Father, we want to lift up them and that you may just soften their hearts, that they may start asking questions, that they may start seeking you. Father, we trust you to draw them in. Father, I ask that you give each of us the words to speak at the right time, that you bring about that a perfect time for that conversation with each one, because, Father, we know that we want none of our loved ones to go without knowing you. Father, we trust you in all of this. We trust you in your wisdom and in your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do at this moment is this morning, we actually have the director of the region, Travis, Pastor Travis, here with us, and he's going to bring the message this morning. So let's give it up for Travis. And thank you so much, brother, for coming out today.
Well, good morning. So good to see all of you and to be up here. 175 years, that's a long time. I see a couple of you that might have been here at the beginning. But most of you, I don't think, were around that long ago. But yeah, that's exciting. I live down in Decatur, Illinois. I grew up about 20 miles south of there, a town called Assumption. And if you've ever heard of Mount Pleasant Church of God, that was my home growing up place. So, excited to be here. Thank you. Mary Bulkins provided my wife, Jill, and I some amazing hospitality last night. So thank you so much for that kind place to stay. I'm going to do a little shift in what's in the program. I'm using a different text and kind of have been stewing through the night on a little different focus. Galatians chapter 3 is going to be a place we're going to be here in a little bit. So if you got your Bibles and you want to turn there, great. Otherwise, I will read the text as we get a little bit closer to time. I'm trying to think it like Jacob had said. When somebody's at 175 years, I mean, you know, what do you say? What do you give them? Congratulations, you know. What a legacy to leave in a community. What an identity to have, and we're going to talk a little bit about identity today. Some of the identity is going to be like really good. I'm glad we have this. The community thinks well of us. There's probably some identity pieces from time to time we have to adjust a little bit. Like maybe this is who we used to be, but where we're going is someplace different, or the people that we long to be as Jesus continues to chisel and work and shape and shift us. Is Jesus still working on y'all? Okay, all right. I know he continues to work on me. I know that my redemption comes through Christ alone, but Christ is kind of shaping and pushing and challenging on me. I want to reflect at the start here. I had went to Columbia earlier in the year. And that's not like Columbia of some state here in the U.S., but, you know, like Columbia, Columbia. You guys follow me? Down south. And on that journey, got to travel to several places, meet a couple of the indigenous tribes. I don't know that it dawned on me that as we have Native American tribes here in the U.S., they have Native American tribes in South America as well. I don't know why that didn't process, but we got to work with the YU and we got to work with the Misak. And the Misak people, we really just got to spend some time around them and watching like who they felt they were and the identity that had been forced or pushed or developed into them. The fact that they could look back 1,000 years and see what their ancestors had drawn on cave paintings and even like the clothes that they wore, and they really tied into that. They had their own language that was very much part of their culture. They had their own things that they made. They had the hats and the particular way that they looked. And I mean, it was really clear that person is from the Misak tribe. And I realized, and I've been thinking about like our own culture, like we don't have that. And let me clarify a little bit. Unless you are native also here and you've been here thousands of years, in general, all of you sitting here, your people decided they didn't want to remain where they were, right? Like they immigrated here from somewhere. Okay, we used to be a German family, but we're not really a German family. Like, I don't even know German, or, you know, we used to be French, or we used to be whatever. But, like, that sense of needed belonging, we left that, and we came to this new place. Everybody on the same page with me? Okay, like, my ancestors decided, yeah. So like, I used to be, but what am I now? And it's, for me, I've been chewing through this identity piece of who am I? And that's changed a lot. And I'm sharing with you today, we're going to talk a lot about you and me, like as individuals, but I want us to kind of have this church identity piece in the back of our minds as well as we celebrate 175 years. So as I've thought about myself, I've realized that my identity, who I am, who I identify, how I introduce myself has changed over the years. I've been a youth pastor. I've been an associate pastor at a church. I'm a husband, father, son, grandson. Always I've identified myself, but some of my identities have been lost. Like, I am no longer an earthly son. Okay? My parents have both passed away. That's not part of my identity anymore. Okay? And I understand there's still memories, but it's not who I am now. I'm not in that relationship. My pastoral role has changed. I remember the day I wasn't a youth pastor anymore and kind of had this, what am I even going to do with all of my life? You know, but I knew that that was shifting. I've been neighbors with people and I don't live by them anymore. Am I still neighbors? Okay, so just today as I speak, I'm going to have a little bit of an interactive piece. That means I'm going to ask some questions occasionally, and you guys are going to answer. You guys got that? We ever done this before? Okay, this is new. Okay, I'm going to ask some questions. You guys can answer. All right, and if anybody gets stuck, Dave Keller is going to just answer all of it. All right? Okay, great. No, I'm just kidding, Dave. So first, just to start so I can get to know you a little bit, what's an identity that you used to have that is no longer you? And I'm looking for some response, some people to share. Something that you used to be, but not anymore. Single, okay? Dairy farmer. Used to be a teacher. Younger. Yes, we did. Used to be a biker. Like motorcycle biker or like pedal bicycle? Okay, good, good. Couple others. What you used to be. Not saved. Okay. A few more. It's a great answer. used to be slimmer, right? Right, yeah. There used to be less of me. Yeah. A corporate junkie, okay? No longer junkie? No longer corporate junkie, okay? Yeah, we've had some pieces that really, often for seasons in our life, were really defining things of how people knew us. Hey, that's so-and-so, okay, the skinny girl over there, and like the skinny boy over there, nobody said that about me in a long time, okay? Like, I get it. We have identities, and this identity changes, and you guys familiar with Andy Griffith up here? Okay, I know it's kind of old, all right, for you young people. That's a show on the, people used to have a TV in their house, okay? I know we don't like screen or anything anymore, but, you know, you had TV, yeah. So there's an episode of Andy Griffith where Andy and Barney, they go into a hotel in Raleigh. As Barney was signing in at the hotel desk, he put Barney Fife, M.D. The clerk said, "Oh, excuse me, Dr. Fife," as he handed him the key. Barney looked at him and asked, "Doctor?" To whom the clerk responded that he had signed it Barney Fife, M.D. Even Andy wondered, "M.D.?" And Barney says, "Yeah, stands for Mayberry Deputy." Now, as we all know, that was an important designation to Barney. I mean, you know, that was his identity and who he was, and he had his one bullet, you know, right there in his shirt in case he ever needed to use it. You know, you and I have our important designations to our identity, whether we're a pastor, a lawyer, a teacher, a mom, a dad, a banker, a marine, a nurse, an engineer, a student, a technician. But my most important title, well, I want to go ahead and read out of Galatians 3 now. Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29 says this: "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, engineer or nurse. It doesn't matter which role that you play. Through Christ, you have clothed yourself with him. Okay? Our identity. So my most important title is not whether I'm those things, but the question is, am I a child of God? That is my most important identity. It's the identity that it doesn't matter what happens to me on this earth, that identity cannot be taken away. You follow me on that? Okay. So I talked a little bit about what we used to be known for, but we also have to process a little bit, how do people currently identify us? What are words that people would use to describe us now? You see, we all want to be known for something. I have things that I was, but I have these things that I wish, I hope, I long for to be known for. And I always have to start like, where am I at? Like, what is it that I want to be known for? And I realize for most of my life, I've wanted to be smart. Okay? It's just been the thing, like, I want to be smart. Okay, as I get older, I realize like smart sounds good, but wise sounds really good. Like, he's the wise old man. Yes. I mean, one day if that is ever true, like that will be yes, kind of I've arrived. You guys are following me? You know, maybe the wise old woman, whatever it is where wisdom comes in. And that's something that I've kind of like, I picked. I want to be smart, I want to be wise, because it's at least thought, like, maybe I could get there. There's other things that, like, you know you're never going to do. Like, I've never longed to be the best basketball player in the nation, because I just knew, like, I didn't have the genetics for that. I didn't have the design for that. okay, I'm probably never going to be Mr. America or Mr. Olympia because I didn't have the muscles or the physique for that. But like that one, like maybe I could get there. And, you know, for you, you're going to have things that you would like to be. I've got a 17 and 19-year-old children. As they're becoming adults, I wrestle with what it means to be a Bodden. Bodden is my last name. Do they represent my family well when they're out? And I have to think, shoot, do I represent my family well while I'm out? Okay. As a pastor, it can often feel heavier because all of the congregants often feel like our kids. I don't know if you know that, but I mean, we feel this sense of responsibility, this fatherly, I need to care for them, okay? And sometimes you have wayward children, and you're not really sure what to do about that, all right? Sometimes we get to read the obituary, and we find out people are members of our churches that we've never met, okay? And there's that little, ugh, I didn't even know, you know? Or I don't know if some of you guys, there might be times where you want to wear your church t-shirt, and there might be times that you're thankful you weren't wearing your church t-shirt. You guys understanding that? Yeah, and even like the identity that you want of your pastor, that's a pressure that he's going to feel as well and that I feel in ministry, because there's things that we want to believe to be true and there's things that we hope aren't true. You know, I mean, if I came in to say, you know, today, man, I'm going to be speaking on self-control today, but I just want to thank Brother Ron. Last night, I just had one too many. I'm so glad he came and helped me get home safe. Like, nobody wants to hear that about the pastor, right? That, you know, I've got a problem about to speak on self-control, or nobody wants to hear, like, that I've got marital issues at times. You know, if I came up and said, hey, I'm going to talk about marriage today for service, but I'm so thankful for my wife. Because last night she said she's going to give me one more chance. Okay. You know, those would be things that, you know, so we carry this pressure of who we're supposed to be and who other people think we're supposed to be. Okay, who we want to be and who other people want us to be. And then I press this further about, so as a pastor, I do funerals from time to time. You know where we often find out what people think of us? Is at the funeral, right? Where do they put it? What's it called? The obituary, right? I mean, they kind of, it's your family writing your epitaph of things that you should be remembered for. And I've started asking families when I meet with them to tell me one word that describes their loved one. Especially those that I don't know, like where I haven't always met or known them well. So I'm going to ask you, one of these days you're going to have an obituary. What's a word that you're hoping your family will use to explain or describe you? Compassionate. Loving. Honest. Helpful. Entertaining, yep. Understanding. Faithful. True to my faith. We'll let you have it. It's more than one word, but you know, that was not. No, that's totally great. That's. Yep, so a few others. What do you hope your family will mention about you, like in one word that explains you? Athletic? Dependable? That we miss him. Yeah, a Christian. Okay, there's an identity piece. Uplifting. Besides, just so y'all know, this side of the room over here is kind of yakking them out here. Huh? Oh, they got all the talkers over there? Is that what you're saying? I'm not going to go there. Okay. What'd you say? blessed. Okay, that's great. Yeah, so those are several great things that we long to be known for. And see, the challenge that we often have is we have who people think we are, who we want to be, and who we actually are. Do you guys live in some of that same tension up here? Who maybe the persona that we put on, the who we want to be and who we actually are. And that space between where people think who think they think we are and who we actually are, what do we do to fill in that space? We pretend. Okay, we act like. We hope. We put on a facade of trying to convince people. And do you know where we pretend the most? Right here. It's where we pretend the most. Right? It's unfortunate. Because I think there's this authenticity that the world is longing for, but we pretend here. Y'all are pretty well behaved. Okay? Other than two couples, I haven't seen anybody nudge each other real hard. Okay? I haven't seen any knockdown, drag-out fights here this morning. I haven't had parents yelling at their kids or kids yelling at their parents. Okay, everybody's for the most part sitting and kind of staying still, staying in your seat. Haven't heard any mom, she's touching me yet. Yet. Okay? You know, we put on this facade and that becomes pressure. And when we have to pretend for a long duration of time, we start to manage this. Here's the risk. If we're pretending, here's the question. If I'm pretending most of the time and I have friends, do my friends like the pretend me or the real me? Do they? I would like to think so. What about my church people? Do they like the real me or the pretend me? Half and half, right? Because half of the church people maybe don't know the real me. They haven't seen me in action, okay? They haven't seen me when I get honked off, or they haven't seen me when I'm late for work, or they haven't seen this thing about me, okay? Or when my team loses. So we have this image that we begin to manage. But I think that there's an image that God has called us into that we really need to look at. So we're going to look at a couple verses today. I'm going to go back through Galatians 3 that I'd read earlier. I'll read a passage out of Romans and James. But here we go, Galatians 3 again. You are, okay, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, when I boil all these things down to my identity in Christ, then my attitude, my behavior, my life choices should all be affected. I should be becoming what I long to be because that is the transformational work that Christ wants to do in me. But I have to believe that he's actively doing the work. I have to believe, yes, I think God is changing me. See, one of the risks that the church often says and that I hear Christians say, well, that's just the way I am. And there's some things that aren't character things that might be. I like to be funny. It's just the way I walk. It's just the way my words come out. But there's some character pieces that if that's just the way you are, then what work is Jesus really doing in you? Like, I need to believe, like, the way I are is changing. I know that's bad English there, okay, Mr. Communication Director, but yeah. The way I am, I need to believe that that's changing, that God is doing this work in me, that he's chiseling on me, that he's changing. And therefore, I can live into what he's calling me to be. Romans 8, 28, 29. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. For God knew his people in advance, it says, and he chose them to become like who? His son. I don't know if you caught that, but God knows you. He knows the real you. Matter of fact, God is okay accepting you and having a relationship with you just the way you are. There's a but, okay? So you don't have to change anything to get to know God. But as you know God, he's going to continue to change in you. Follow me on that? He's going to continue. He wants to continue to do this work because he's transforming us to become like who? His son, Jesus. We should be looking more and more like Jesus. A question I've asked groups in the past and that I have to ponder for myself, like, if I polled the church and said, like, who's the most Christ-like person in the church, would they pick you? And sometimes, like, well, if they really knew the real me, no way. If I asked who the most Christ-like person is in the church, would your family pick you? And those are some identity pieces that go, oh, I've got work to do. I have a lot of work to do. But I have to let God do that in me. I have to acknowledge it. And I have to begin to see myself as, if I'm God's kid, if that's who I am, I've got this relationship with the Father. Kerwin mentioned earlier, like, I have this authority. Okay, but there's also a bit of expectation. I mean, if you're the king's kid, there's like how you act, how you talk, how you care, how you love the community, how you act as a church, how you treat each other, how you're authentic with each other, all of those things, like we're the king's kids. We're it. God accepts us like we are, but he wants to transform us. And the primary way you'll become transformed is by being around people that are being transformed. Okay, I want you to understand this. There are things in life that I can teach you, like I could teach you how to change the brakes on a car. I could teach you how to rewire a house, okay? But I can't actively teach you how to be more humble. I can't actively teach you how to be more honest. You're gonna learn to be humble or honest by being around people that are honest and humble. Okay, and what really affects people is when I watch somebody that used to not be honest, I watch Jesus get a hold of them, and I watch them become honest. When I'm in that group of people and I'm watching it actively happen and going, oh, now I see how Jesus really changes somebody because I know what they used to be like and they're no longer like that because I've lived amongst them. And I think the community is longing to see in that in us that we've got this relationship where we get to watch one another change and shift and be shaped, that we get to call each other out when things are like, hey, man, that's not okay to say. And those are hard things to hear and feel, but like that's the transformative work that God wants to do in his church. And we can all try to be known for something, but what our soul really longs for is to be known by someone. And that's what the church is supposed to be. James 5:16 says this, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm going to read that again because I think it's really important. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We're often afraid to do this because we don't want anyone to know the real us. We resist being known, and then we wonder why our brokenness doesn't get healed. And we often begin to believe that we are permanently broken. Some of y'all got some sin stuff in your life that's been hanging on for a long time. We keep trying to defeat whatever it is, but we don't have people that we're confessing to, or even rougher is when you finally do share it with somebody and then they don't hold you accountable. I know that's hard too, but like what says, confess so you will be, what was the word? Healed. I think as the church, I'm not asking for group confessionals, but I think we have to be really real with each other and say, here, you know, here's what you maybe people think of me, but here's really where I am. But I want to get there. And I need you to help me get there. I need you to help me get there. Okay? And then other people can say, hey, you know what? Me too. I'm here and I want to be here. Okay? This is what Christ has called me to. Craig Groeschel makes a statement. He says, the primary reason you do what you do comes down to what you believe about you. The primary reason you do what you do comes down to what you believe about you. I've had to resonate that a little bit. But like some of our behaviors, we just, oh, that's just the way I am. Sometimes it's identity pieces that our parents spoke into us. Sometimes it's identity pieces that our school children, classmates, friends spoke into us. It's just, I'm just a drunk. Sorry, I just like to gossip sometimes. I know it's not good, but you know, just listen to, let me tell you. Sorry, I'm just a this or just a that. So this is what I want to take a moment, and I think that we need to be able to release today. I think there are some things about you that the enemy, the devil, continues to say about who you are that aren't true. He says things about you that aren't true, and you've been believing it. And I think in that, it has inhibited and limited your ability to live the full life. For some, it might be you're a loser. You're stupid. You're not worth much. Nobody loves you. You should just be quiet. Don't say anything, it'll be stupid. Those are all words that the enemy says. Those aren't words that God says. So I'm going to ask us to take just one moment, and we're going to pray for a minute. I'm going to ask you to pray, and I'm going to ask, this is what I'm asking you to ask God for. What is the word of identity that Satan has been speaking into me that's not true? And then I want you to ask him, what is true? Follow that? Everybody understand what you're asking? Asking God to point out, what is it that's not true that you've been believing, and then what is true? Okay? Let's pray for a minute. I want to give just a moment. I'd love to hear if there's a few that would be willing to share. What did you hear from God in that moment of a lie that maybe you've believed about you that's just not true? So that you may be healed. Anybody have something they're willing to share here? I know I had something for me. I think I grew up kind of poor. And I've often believed that I'm still poor and I'm supposed to eat everything on my plate. And therefore I do, and it's affecting my health. And I don't have to do that. What'd you hear? Just give another moment, but I'd love to hear a little feedback. What did you hear God say? He said, you are brave. Because maybe at times you felt that you're not brave. Absolutely. Thank you. You got something? He loves you. Great. Thank you. Super. What'd you hear? Forgiveness. Oh, worthiness, that you are worthy. Great, thank you. A couple more. What did you need to hear today? Yep. Okay. Listen to the wrong person. Absolutely. Any more want to pop out here? What would it be like in our community if we all began to believe the truth about ourselves, of one who we are, who we're not? And we could identify that as, that is not me anymore. That is not who I am. Maybe who I was, but it is not who I am. And the community began to see this church live in a way that we are God's kids. And because of that, I'm going to love others. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to care for my neighbors. I'm not going to be hateful. I could go through the Galatians 5. I'm going to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the community thinks of. Those are the words that come to mind if I ask the community, what do you think, what do you know of Mount Carroll Church of God, that's what they said, those words. Live into who God is calling you to be. Live into the future of what God wants to do through you, and be solidified in what God's doing in you now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you love us and that you're continuing to do a work in us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be aware of the things you're trying to transform that we might look like Christ. Lord, I pray for Mount Carroll Church of God and the impact that they have, or the potential to have impact on their community, that this might be a bright, shining place in our country that shows what Jesus' love really looks like, and that people might be able to praise you for what they have experienced through the love of Mount Carroll Church of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
goodness of God. I want to thank Pastor Travis for the message that he brought us this morning and the challenge as we move forward on how God sees us and not allow things to spoke into our lives that aren't true. And may we be that example inside of our community, be that light up on the hill as people enter town that we've talked about before. So as we prepare to exit today, may remember the love that God has for each one of you and the light that we're called to share in our community. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.